Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome into Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. This is Dr. John Coben. Another great day ahead in store for you all who are listening and thinking this morning. We are here promoting the truth, and we are also promoting thinking Christians. That is, we want to help you who are, especially who are Christians, to think better about public policy and things that pertain to the Christian worldview. We also welcome all those who are non-Christians listening to the show, and we hope that you'll find your ultimate salvation and rest in Jesus Christ, for there is no hope in life without Christ. But in the meantime, we're glad that you've joined us just to learn about the issues of liberty a little more deeply and perhaps discuss some of the issues of the day as they pertain to free markets, or as they could be viewed in light of what could be had under free markets, limited government, less regulation, and more peace. P.J. O'Rourke says for us this morning in his book, All the Trouble in the World, The Lighter Side of Famine, Pestilence, Destruction, and Death, bureaucrats want bigger bureaus. Special interests are interested in whatever is special to them. These two groups bring great pressure to bear upon politicians who have another agenda yet to cater to the temporary whims and fads of the public and the press. So true, P.J. You've always seemed to have something insightful to say to us. The phone number here at the Tyranny Response Network this morning, if you want to call and participate in the show, is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Your calls and comments are, as always, are appreciated. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you may send comments and questions to the show by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And yesterday we happened to receive a whole load of emails. Very glad that occurred, and we encourage you to continue to do so. The show is recorded and often plays at other times besides 7:30 to 9 in the morning, Eastern times, weekday mornings. If you're listening to a recorded broadcast, obviously you won't be able to call in for the live show, but we would encourage still that you send your emails to questions@policyofliberty.net. One of the first emails we got this morning was from Chester. And Chester writes this: Dr. Coben, glad to hear you talking about the harsh truth about public schools today on the broadcast. Couldn't agree with you and Mr. Short more. Mr. Short wrote a book that we read a review of yesterday on the air, very critical of public schools. He's a Southern Baptist, the one who tried to turn the convention towards recommending that members of the Southern Baptist Convention take their children out of the public school. Some pastors have told me that as many as 90% of people that sit in Southern Baptist pews today have a very superficial faith and may not even be Christians. I don't know if that's the case, but I do know there are some Southern Baptists who are very good Christians, and certainly Mr. Short is an outstanding example of that. Back to Chester's letter. As if the taxpayers weren't already being robbed sufficiently by the government schools of atheism, they are also like to receive funding from business such as department stores, grocery stores, and the financial institutions. When I go to such places, I try to make my practice to let management know that I don't like to do business with companies that donate some of their profits to government education. I can't understand why the public is in love with education, as if it didn't matter what students are learning as long as it is education by qualified teachers. The education establishment truly has the public duped into believing that they are such a noble bunch, despite what is being taught. By what a stranglehold they have on people's minds. I thank the Lord that in heaven there will be no abortion clinics, no brothels, no bars, no casinos, and no government schools. Great list, Chester. They're all. You've got all the evil things in one line: abortion clinics, brothels, bars, casinos, and government schools. We need to put government schools at the head of the list, right behind abortion clinics, then brothels and the other ones. My concern is that the public needs to see the schools for what they are. By the way, how can they get away with making these specialty license plates calling for folks to invest in public education? Surely we need one that lauds the wonders of private education if we are going to give both sides. Why not just have against public education or anti-government school or raise the government schools? We don't even need to be pro-homeschool or anything else in particular. Just one to counter the public education. Don't they have an apple on there with a bite out of it or something? Why don't we just put in, you know, kind of a rotting-looking apple with a worm coming out of it and talk about it, the anti-government school plate? If we are, I'd like to hear your comments, if any, on this letter, but I don't get to listen to much of your broadcast due to my work. Thanks for your show, Chester. Well, Chester, I think you have a very good letter here, and I appreciate what you have to say. Always appreciate hearing good comments from conversations on the show. This is the Tyranny Response Network, and we respond against tyranny, and the public school is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, progenitor of tyranny today. I know the mass media and government or state agencies also promote tyranny, but the government school is really profligate, really has gone astray. It is wayward. It is evil. It is an institution that is unredeemable, no different in my mind than an abortion clinic as far as being able to be redeemed by God's grace. It's just no place for it in the kingdom of God. Government schooling is not the ideal for the Christian, and I believe we need to reject that out of hand. So I agree with you completely on what you've said here. I just made my suggestions about the license plate and perhaps the ordering of the evil institutions you've listed. But otherwise, great job, Chester. If you have any comments, I want to criticize Chester and I know some of you out there who love the public school and who have your kids there are just seeming, you're just seething right now. You're boiling over. You can't believe that the Tyranny Response Unit would say such dastardly things about this cherished American institution that just wants to help people. And just think about all those poor Christians who are there, you know, taking a government paycheck, trying to be missionaries to the public school and doing good things. I don't buy it, folks. You have no reason or purpose for being there any more than a secretary would have a right or reason to be a secretary of an abortion clinic or a doorman would be a doorman of a brothel. There's just no way that you can justify your existence in that public school system. The government school is a wayward, evil, wicked thing that needs to be completely discarded by Christians, and you have no purpose in business being there. If you disagree with me, please, by all means, call and tell me why. 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. We have on the other side of that from Alan an email wanting to announce. He says he's excited to announce that we have been able to arrange for Little Bear Wheeler to visit us on Friday evening, May 13th, and Saturday, May 14th. A little bit of trouble with pronouncing the letters this morning of the English alphabet. You may be aware that Little Bear is an actor who, in full costume, reenacts events of our nation's history. He is normally booked for 1 to 2 years in advance at homeschooling events, as distinct from public schooling events. Please mark your calendars now for this event. We are exploring the options for an auditorium suitable to accommodate 150 to 300 people. If you are aware of one, please respond to this message at familytogetherministries@yahoo.com. This is Alan Melton, who also periodically writes in the Times Examiner, especially when we're criticizing the public schools in the Times Examiner column, and then have some of the neocons run to the aid of the public school and to defend it, as there are a couple in the, maybe one, at least one, in the Times Examiner that do. At any rate, people run to its defense while we criticize it. Alan Melton stands firm with the Tyranny Response Unit and all those who love liberty, who love Christ, to repudiate the idea that the public school or the government school is a good thing. He says you may find out more about Little Bear's ministry here at Mantle Ministries. That's M-A-N-T-L-E ministries.com. Once we have secured our facility and finalized the details of the meeting, we will contact you. May God bless you for your service to his children. Alan just wanted to let us know that there is a homeschool event. Our show, The Christian Worldview, is homeschooler friendly. If you haven't already noticed, we are in favor of homeschooling. We're appreciative of all homeschoolers who take some time out of their morning to listen for a little while to Christian Worldview. We hope it is very educational, informative to you. It helps you grow in not only the knowledge of Christ, but as a better American who trusts in the principle, or not trusts in, who values the principles of freedom and promotes the institutions of liberty in our land. It's your generation that will change this country. You are our ace in the hole, if I can use that terminology, the one that we will play, if I can use that terminology, against the cards of the evil one who have stacked the deck with his public school graduates, with his government school employees, and with his legions of bureaucrats and business people who have been indoctrinated with the ways of this world, including socialism, liberalism, against anti-liberty, anti-Bill of Rights sentiment, pro-environmentalist crazy ideology. This kind of stuff you will oppose, and you will eventually win. You will be the card that we play in the future to beat the hand of those who are rising up against us now through their government education or indoctrination program. Here we have another someone actually stopped by and gave the Tyranny Response Unit, that's me, Dr. John Coben, a letter from the, or an article from the Charleston Post and Courier. It's called Put Parents in Charge to Improve Education in South Carolina. Here, we learned that Bush, under President Bush, federal spending has increased by 58% to South Carolina schools. This is the president that's really helped us reduce our budget, as you recall, who's the pro-Christian president, who is the pro-liberty president. Actually, if you believe that, you're gullible. You voted for the wrong guy. This is the guy that increases the size of government, that takes away your rights, that supports public schools or government schools, and is certainly not helping Christians or the church. He's talking about currently spending $3,500 to $4,000 per child. That's a credit that we're looking for. Putting parents in charge, $3,500 to $4,000 per child. Listen, folks, don't be deceived by this. If you're in the homeschool movement, we need to reject out of hand the idea of taking this money. I know it's tempting. I hate paying the property tax as much as anyone else does. No one likes to be robbed or to have extortion happen to us. But listen, if we let the camel's head or nose into the tent, pretty soon the whole camel will be in. They're looking for a way to defeat the homeschool movement. They have not been able to defeat us directly. We've been able to defend ourselves in the court through HSLDA and otherwise, and they've not been able to stop us in any state. But now they're trying to say, well, if we can't stop them that way, let's just infiltrate them. Let's slowly start to regulate them. Let's get our nose in the tent, or foot in the door first, and then eventually we will bring the whole thing down by regulating and forcing them to teach certain things that the state requires. Don't buy it, folks. Forget about putting parents in charge. Forget about any being involved with the public school at all. Do anything you can to obliterate the thing, and alternatively, let's not take any of their offers for money for us to stay at home. We're coming up against a quick break here. We'll be back in a moment on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network.
You're listening to TRN.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics.
You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome back to the show. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview. Just a reminder, we are now webcasting, which means you can hear the Tyranny Response Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, via the World Wide Web. If you go to the homepage, policyofliberty.net, and scroll down a ways, you'll find a link that says click listen live to the broadcast. You can click there, and up will pop your media player or whatever variety you might have, and it will play the live show worldwide, whether you be the West Coast, East Coast, Canada, Mexico, anywhere in the world, you can listen to the Tyranny Response Network. Please let other people know that this option is available. We're trying to expand our reach to folks, not only in South Carolina, but elsewhere. And we hope that you'll send emails, phone calls, anything you can to get people, make people aware that the Tyranny Response Network is now being webcasted. Our phone number here for the show is 864-201-6955. 864-201-6955 if you have a question or comment. You may also send them by email to questions@policyofliberty.net, questions@policyofliberty.net. Those parents who have been misled to believe that putting parents in charge in these sorts of programs will actually work need to step back from it and think about the theory of what the public school is all about. The public school is there to indoctrinate children and bring them up in the way of statism, secular humanism, Darwinism, alternative lifestyles, and any other kind of liberalism that happens to be modern and faddish, including way-out environmentalism, where God is not in control of the world and man can actually destroy the world by his own foul play and foul efforts. Folks, these people do not have a Christian worldview. Their goal is not to allow all sides to be heard. The other day, I was listening to Dr. Paul Dean's show on a local radio station for biblical counseling, and there was some discussion about teaching creationism in the public school. While I'm very happy to see the creationists get an opportunity to go there and be able to witness to those people the truth, especially because they are doing it not under the ruse of being or the guise of being missionaries to the children by then accepting a public school paycheck. They are simply going there to share something with them as they would be to go to any other group of unbelievers or those who are lacking the truth. Well, at any rate, we have to be careful, folks. These schools are not in any way, and I think this was the error I heard on the show the other day with Dr. Paul Dean, that these people are not, and I'm not saying Paul Dean believes this. Some people are going to be thinking, wait a minute, Paul Dean doesn't think that the government school's good. And well, that's, I know he doesn't. But the whole issue when it comes up on a show like his becomes in the public mind something that, well, it's something to be considered. We can actually get the Christian the Christian ideas into the public school. It can be taught alongside with other views. And this view can be presented along with evolution. And therefore, people can be able to vote on it with their own mind, choose which way is correct or not correct. This is not going to be acceptable in the government school, folks, because the people who founded the government school, who are promoting the government school, who are behind and backing the public school right now, do not want the Christian worldview. They are promoting a worldview that is contrary to the scriptures, contrary to freedom, and they are not going to allow any competition in there. Even though they might give it some lip service at times, or you might see little blips on the screen, whether it's stickers on textbooks or otherwise, the stickers that recently decried or made some doubt about Darwinism and then were quickly shot down by courts here and there, you're not going to find a long-lasting relationship between openness to the Christian faith and the Christian worldview and the government school. So don't be fooled into believing this parents in charge stuff will actually allow parents to have some say over their children's education in the long run in any way that reflects the Christian worldview. There may be some sense of which the public school will take input from those who are anti-Christian, who are pro-secular humanist, pro-Darwinist, pro-abortionist, pro-alternative lifestyle, including homosexual, feminist, or whatever it might be. Sure, they might take some input from them on how they might hone those particular programs, But you're not going to see a true balanced approach in the public school or the government school that favors in any way or puts in a good light in any way the Christian worldview, the Christian God, and the freedoms and so forth that we cherish. It's just not going to happen. Given that is the case, I'm calling on all Christians to abandon the public school. I'm not saying that try to save it or try to help it. Get out of it. Don't take a job there. Certainly don't send your children there and have them indoctrinated by this program. Don't fool yourself into thinking that your kids can be salt and light in this place or that you can be salt and light in this place. What Short had to say yesterday was absolutely correct. Our only option with the public school is to abandon it and get rid of it. Vote against it. Do anything we can to raise the thing to the ground and eliminate the institution. It is your greatest enemy, Christian. It is your greatest enemy for those of you who love liberty. This is the institution that's pulling us down, that's putting us backwards. It's not just the mass media, but when you got the mass media and the public school combining forces, you've got a powerful, powerful foe. Paul says we're not unaware of the wiles, or we shouldn't anyway, be unaware of the wiles of the devil. And here we have two wiles, especially this one of the government school. We'll be back in just a minute on the Tyranny Response Network. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Oh, but Dr. Coben, you're just being too hard on the poor, sweet people that are trying to do a good job in the public school. It's a tough environment. We've got tough government regulations that come down the pike, and we have to, you know, we have no choice but to comply. We have to teach Darwinism in the classroom. No, we're not allowed to do anything else, but at least we're there trying to give some alternative message to these poor children. Just look at all of them suffering there. Suffering. They're living their lives without realizing that what God's all about. If we're not in there, they may never hear about Christ, and at least we'll be able to have some mention of Him in the classroom, perhaps, if we sneak it in, along with teaching Darwinism and secular humanism, which we're required to do. And although we do have the gay rights groups come in and the Man Boy Love Association, and we have closed-door sessions about sexual education for our children, we'll still be able to talk to them a little bit about monogamy later as a possible alternative to what they've heard. And you have to give us a break, Dr. Coben, because we're trying our hardest not to harm or allow these little children's ears to be harmed, and not to allow them to see only the bad things in the world. We want to help them, and if we're not there, no one else will do it. So please give us a break. Please, folks, don't be so gullible. This is not true. This is not a good thing. The public school is an evil place. It is not a place that Christians should be, not only for their own sakes, but because they are not able to do what they say they can do at this place. By the same logic, you might as well go ahead and visit these so-called adult entertainment centers and hang around the crowd there and see if you can't be a good testimony to them. There are certain places that are just off limits for Christians to be involved with, and the public school is one of them. I'm sorry if you have a different opinion. You're welcome to express it on this show, by the way, but I won't agree. Public school is the most dangerous foe that the Christian church and those who love liberty face in our modern world, in the American world. And as an example, we read the other day, you remember, that high school students thought that after they'd gone through their government indoctrination program at the public school without knowing they were being indoctrinated, they thought that people had too many rights and that the First Amendment was too broad and should be curtailed. We should give some rights back to the government. After all, people do not need to speak out as much as they do or be able to express the opinions that they do in this country. The First Amendment was wrong. Similar experience that I had when I was there in the community college section, receiving a lot of the high school graduates from public schools and being told and rebuked by class in the classroom by students for reading the Declaration of Independence because such a radical, revolutionary document has no place in America. No place in America. This is what we've come to. Well, here's another thing today that's come up in Fox News. Lisa Porteous, Fox News reporter, reports on February 8, 2005, anti-racist message in Massachusetts math class. In some public schools, math teachers do more than teach algebra and geometry. They give their students lessons intended to purge what they consider racism. The anti-racist education program in place at the Newton Public Schools in Newton, Massachusetts, a wealthy liberal niche of the Bay State, has angered some parents who believe the school district is more concerned about political correctness than teaching math skills. According to the Benchmarks for Middle School Education, the top objective for the district's math teachers is to teach respect for human differences. And we have a caller on the line. Welcome to the show. This is Dr. John Coben.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. This is Brad. How are you today?
Well, I'm just all revved up, Brad, because I've got public school on my mind today. And, you know, I just detest the public school as I detest Satan himself. To me, there's hardly any difference between the public school and the state and Satan, especially in the way they act. And so I'm all revved up. But if you have a comment about the public school, I'm all ready to, all ears to listen and to talk about it. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, amen to that, brother. I just want to thank you for what you're doing, and it's very, very difficult to find somebody that will actually speak upon these issues as you do, and I really want to commend you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you. Is there anyone else who's willing to speak out against it? They all seem sold out. They all buy the line. Oh, they're good people trying their best. You know, don't you hear the whining that goes on elsewhere trying to justify these people?
That's right.
It's just sickening.
The collectivism view has really done a number on our country, unfortunately.
Oh, and you can just see them. You know, you can imagine Polycarp or somebody getting martyred, and as each finger is being chopped off, and then a hand, and then a little bit of the arm is burned, and then some acid is poured on, and you watch the man twitch and scream and writhe in pain. Oh, well, just be gentle with those torturers. They're not really that bad. You know, they're well-meaning people. They're just a little deceived. I mean, they're raping the children of America. They are distorting their minds.
That's anyway. Right, Dr. Coben. Can you do a favor for us out in Radio Land?
Well, I would love to be able to try anything I can.
Okay. We're having a little bit of a problem hearing you on the radio this morning. You might want to turn your microphone up a little bit. It seems to be difficult to hear your voice this morning, so you might want to try to bump your microphone up a little bit for us.
I will definitely pass along the information to the production staff at the Tyranny Response Network. Wave
right.
My hands and so on and so forth. And I appreciate the call and to let us know that we have that technical glitch, and we're sorry that that's occurred. It sounds loud and clear in my earphones, so I guess it's hard to tell what it's like out there in the real world.
Okay. Well, I can hear what you're preaching, and you're doing a great job this morning, and thank you for everything you talk about, which we can't hear anyplace else.
Appreciate the call, Brad. Thanks for calling in. Spread the word about TRN.
Okay. Take care, John.
All right. Bye-bye. At any rate, this story comes out of this Massachusetts. I'm going to read this again because this is just so horrendous, so horrific. In fact, we've got a break we're coming up to, so I'm going to go ahead and we'll pick this up right when we come back after the break. Thanks again for the call, Brad. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. This is Dr. John Coben on Christian Worldview.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to the show. This is Christian Worldview. You're welcome to call the program this morning at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Also, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, comments and questions can be emailed to us to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. We appreciate all your support. We'd encourage you to send the show just your encouraging comments as well as remarks you might have about how to improve the show, or if you can support the show, either by a small monthly donation or donating your own labor and time, if you materials perhaps, if you live in Greenville, have lots of jobs need to be done, painting, gravel work, ditch digging, all sorts of different things, trash cleanup. And if you have any interest in being able to help support the show, just send us an email to questions@policyofliberty.net. We'll be glad to help place you or take your donation and put it to good use. But we were reading here right before the break this anti-racist message that in the Massachusetts math class. In some public schools, math teachers do more than teach algebra and geometry. They give their students lessons intended to purge what they consider racism. The anti-racist education program in place at Newton Public Schools in Newton, Massachusetts, a wealthy liberal niche of the Bay State, has angered some parents who believe the school district is more concerned about political correctness than teaching math skills. According to the benchmarks for middle school education, the top objective of the district's math teachers is to teach respect for human differences. The objective for students to live out the system-wide core value of respect for human differences by demonstrating anti-racist, anti-biased behaviors. Priority number two is where the basics come in, which is problem-solving and representation. Students will build new mathematical knowledge as they use a variety of techniques to investigate and represent solutions to problems. Folks, this is no surprise to the Tyranny Response Unit, that's me, Dr. John Coben, or to anyone who loves liberty and has a clue at what the public school is all about. The government school is not there to merely teach the three R's. That's sort of icing on the cake for them if they can get some people out who actually know how to function in society. What's more important to them is that they become good little statists, good people who will follow along the edicts of the current regime or the current reigning prince like King George is at the moment, and the people who will support the ideas of the collectivist leftists, the collectivists on the left, whether it be in terms of Darwinism, socialism, alternative lifestyle, or the environmentalist movement, or many other things in society that we see. These issues are imperative to the promulgation of leftist and liberal doctrine, and the public school is the champion of these types of programs. It's no surprise that the public school is promoting this thing about sensitivity and racism over mathematics. Some of you may be shocked. Oh, well, my public school isn't that bad. We're still doing better. Look, folks, they all could have said that 30 years ago, 40 years ago, or at some point. They don't all they go incrementally and gradually. That's the socialist, the Fabian socialist idea. Slowly over time, they become bad and infectious and tumultuous and malicious. Where there's still some resistance in the community, they take a little bit slower approach. And so, sure, you're going to find some public schools that are not as malignant and cancerous as others currently. But they're all going to get there. They all, because the institution has the goal of promoting a godless, secular humanist perspective, an anti-liberty perspective, that's what you're going to end up with eventually. It's all going to get there, folks. This is your enemy. You need to know it, the public school. This is not a surprise what's happening in Massachusetts. It's already the most leftist state in the United States, and that's why we see this promoted there more than anywhere else. But nevertheless, we should not be surprised. This is the true nature of the public school, the government school. In other news this morning related to the Christian worldview, we have Fox News reporting that scientist gets licensed to clone. London, the scientist who attracted the world's attention by cloning Dolly the sheep, is about to take another major step for medical research, cloning human embryos and experimenting on them with the British government's permission. Ian Wilmot, who led the team that created Dolly at Scotland's Rosslyn Institute in 1996, applied in September to Britain's Fertility Authority for... Britain has a fertility authority? Very interesting. For a human cloning license to study how nerve cells go awry or cause motor neuron disease. The Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority, which regulates such research, approved the license Tuesday. I mean, when you're running out of bureaus to do things, folks, yeah, go ahead and open up the Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority. Give me a break. Not only is it evil on its face, certainly, but what a waste of taxpayer money. Well, what people are stolen from, government can, the thief can do whatever it wants with the stolen funds, obviously. But it's just what an atrocity for those poor people in Britain that must suffer as slaves under their tyrannical state. Too bad they didn't throw them off like we did in 1776. You poor Brits, left behind with people like Tony Blair. Well, you say, ha ha, you're no better than us now. You've got King George. Well, you may have a point there, but at least for a little while we were free. You've never been free, at least not in the last 500 years. It is a second such license approved since Britain became the first country to legalize research cloning in 2001. Great deal, Britain. You're going to lead the way in helping people, helping the death squads of the world promote their doctrine and their ideas. We're going to come up to a quick break here. We'll be back in just a moment on the Tyranny Response Network. This is John Coben, Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview.
You're listening to TRN.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Oh, there's just so much news today and so many stories related to the Christian worldview and articles and people talking about things that we're not going to be able to accomplish at all today, but that's all right. There's also tomorrow, and it never runs out, folks. The thrust of the liberals, of the left, to infiltrate, undermine, and destroy the perspectives and values we hold and cherish never ends. There is no end to tyranny. That's why the Tyranny Response Network will always be here. It will always have something to clamor against. And we are here opposed to tyranny. We are in favor of the values that made this country great, including the values of the Founding Fathers, who thought that we had inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that government was created after the fact that we had rights. In other words, our rights are antecedent to the state, and that government was to be limited and only as a collective institution to protect our rights. Instead, government has become the god and master, and we serve the state in this country as its slaves. It regulates us. It takes care of us from cradle to grave. And the whole process begins with the indoctrination program in the public school we've been talking about again on the show. A bright light, of course, is homeschooling. They hate homeschooling because they know it undermines their very precious and most important weapon, the public school. And here we have an article emailed to the doctor, to me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding home education. This comes from the Home Educators Association Loop in Greenville area, South Carolina, headed by Suzanne Brown. And this article says, "Bringing higher education all the way home. Many Christians are noticing that the value of a genuinely Christian higher education can't be underestimated in a society at war with God and its own history. Thoroughly transformed Christian people are needed to rebuild the family, church, and culture according to biblical principles, led by the Holy Spirit, to bring glory to God. However, a significant amount of learning is required to become equipped with the ability to discern the times and apply Scripture by faith to all areas of life. It also requires diligence at all levels of education. This is a daunting task, but perhaps one that home-educated students have been prepared to accomplish." Esther 4:14. Yes, we hope so. "Modern Christian higher education. It is well known that secular universities are openly hostile to the Christian worldview and that Christian colleges cannot replicate the family away from home. Recent worldview assessment of 1,177 students in 18 good Christian colleges demonstrated over 7 years that Christian students are graduating from Christian institutions with a secular humanist worldview, even where their professors have a biblical theist worldview. These above-average Christian colleges are little better than their secular counterparts because their curricula were developed under the same institutional accreditation guidelines, the same textbooks were used. Many of the faculty were trained at secular institutions. The family learning context is ignored, and worldly degree goals overshadow biblical goals. For many discerning home-educating families, simply baptizing secular education methods and content with Christian viewpoints is not sufficient. She goes on to talk about perhaps we can use distance education to possibly help. And then she cites Francis Schaeffer, who, writing in The Great Evangelical Disaster in 1984, said, Dr. Francis Schaeffer, evangelicals were right in emphasizing the lordship of Christ over all areas of culture, art, philosophy, society, government, academia, and so on. But what happened? Many young evangelicals heard this message, went out into the academic world, and earned their undergraduate and graduate degrees from the finest secular schools. But something happened in the process. In the midst of a totally humanistic colleges and universities and totally humanistic orientation in the academic disciplines, many of these young evangelicals began to be infiltrated by the anti-Christian worldview, which dominated the thinking of their colleges and professors. In the process, any distinctively evangelical point of view was accommodated to the secularistic thinking of their discipline and surrounding world spirit of our age. And, of course, Francis Schaeffer makes a great point. Now, some of the callers and people who have written in have been bashing as well the public education system as being evil, and it truly is evil. It is a wicked institution. It's unredeemable. Christians should have nothing to do with it. You shouldn't work for it. You should be disqualified if you're an elder or a pastor and you send your wife over there to teach part-time. It's just there's no excuse for you to be involved with this wicked, malignant institution. But what about higher education? Somebody will say, well, Dr. Coben, that's worse. Well, I'm not sure that it's worse, and I'll tell you why. I'm not saying that's good, secular higher education. That's where, in fact, all the people who are trained to teach in the public school get trained and pass on their pedigree. You know, they get their heritage, their legacy, their understanding, their thinking patterns from these wicked university ideals. But there is a difference between universities and public schools. First of all, government schools have compulsory education requirements. Everybody is supposed to go to school when they're young. Second of all, the minds of those who are very young are far more malleable and can be twisted towards the statist principle by forcing them to sit in the indoctrination classes. And then thirdly, all of these schools are supported by extortion. And so there is widespread extortion through property taxation, especially, as well as other kinds of taxation, to support these institutions. Now, the government's the secular humanist institutions of the higher education, the universities, are also teaching what is wrong, but no one is forced to go there. Most of them are not funded in the same way that public schools are, even though they might get some local support and even some state support through extortionary means. They by no means have a monopoly on your education dollar. Now, having said that, I'm going to criticize and say the higher education, the academic world in university is a very wicked and self-serving, self-aggrandizing, and wayward institution as well. It is not, I'm not going to say it's not redeemable to the extent that the public school is, because it doesn't have the same goals that the public school has. It's not there set up to make little statists, anti-liberty type people out of the students that go in there, anti-Christian people. The professors that teach in universities often are. The point about Christian schools adopting the wicked methods of the secular universities is very telling, and I think that's probably very true. But you have a choice as a parent when you decide to send your kids to a school or university after they've been homeschooled, for instance, to make a valuable choice for them. And as 18 and 19-year-olds or 16 and 17-year-olds, as the case may be, as they go out into the college world, you need to be careful that they are going to a place that is going to help them maintain their values and not be challenged on all sides without having defense, not even having mom and dad nearby to be able to help them overcome the things that will be thrust upon them. And it is sad if that's happening in Christian schools where they're leaving there without having a Christian or theistic worldview, but indeed it may be the case. So be careful in how you choose the university. Now, I want to be very clear that academia is one of our great enemies. In fact, ultimately, I would say there is no greater enemy than the power of ideas when they're wicked ideas. We just see that promulgated most in the public school system, in the government education system.
But if indeed there were no leftist academia, there were no universities that had these corrupt and stupid and wicked and secular humanist ideas, there would be no would not be a trickle-down effect into the government school program. The one feeds the other one. What I'm saying, as a Christian, you have the ability, especially as an adult, to be able to avoid much of what you couldn't avoid when you were in the government school, if you went to a government school when you're young, or those who go to a government school are forced to encounter. If you go to college, you have electives, you have programs that you can take, you have certain things that are required in a general education coursework, but you could actually even go to a secular university with careful planning and avoid much of the pitfalls that you can't avoid in a government school K through 12. Not saying it's great, and my kids aren't going to secular universities. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it is, in my mind, categorically different. You may disagree with that, and I'd be happy to talk with you about that. And perhaps I'm wrong, and certainly been a number of things I've changed my mind on over the years. But I do think there's a categorical difference between universities, public universities, and the government school for K through 12 education. Not in the philosophy of the teachers in many respects, but in the whole goals and objectives of the institutions, the fundamental premise for why the thing exists, it differs. I think the one is proactive policy. The government school is a proactive policy, both of redistribution and behavior changing, where the public university's primary goal is just a public policy of inefficient provision of public of goods and services. It's just doing something as a public enterprise the market can do itself on its own without any government interference. Well, we come up to get to another break again on the Tyranny Response Network. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but he has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as he did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead. Make your day.
This is Dr. John Coben back again on Christian Worldview. You can reach the program this morning, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Send your comments and questions by email 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Just a couple other quick items here before we move on to a few other interesting stories and items of news for the day. Some deep thinking about the Christian worldview. Cuban Memorial is requesting compassion, reflection, and prayers for victims of communism today. They want us to remember, basically, the more than 10,000 Cubans that died as victims of communism today. Between the 18th and the 20th of February, especially, they're going to have a meeting in Tom Miami Park in Miami, Florida, where volunteers of various countries are organizing for the third consecutive year to have this Cuban memorial where they honor and remember these victims of communism. Isn't it tragic that the modern mainstream media will never tell you in the terms that they should what a grave and horrific tragedy communism was? Their coddled leftist doctrine fails. The human heart, evil as it is, when left to try to govern itself and try to organize society on its own without the forces that God has created in the world, such as the forces of market economics and capitalism, it ends up with tyranny, destruction of property, murder and chaos, poverty and misery. That is a legacy, folks, of communism and totalitarianism. And at the Tyranny Response Network, our sympathy, our compassion, Our hearts go out to all of those who suffered under Fidel Castro and the communist regime that invaded and took over Cuba and has been there molesting those people ever since. It is indeed a grave tragedy. Same for those in other places, whether it be in Korea, Southeast Asia, or Eastern Europe. So many millions have suffered. So many millions have died at the hand of communists and those leftists who hate liberty. The left is a forceful movement. They will use force to accomplish their ends. And whenever they can get their way, and can't get their way in the public arena through politics, watch out, because they're not willing. They're willing to take up arms or whatever is necessary. It's a good thing we happen to have the Second Amendment. Don't be selling off your guns. Disobey the rules, folks. If they tell you you can't have a gun, keep it at any rate. You heard it right here on the Tyranny Response Network. If you live in California, that's more relevant than if you live in South Carolina, but still, day's coming that it could happen everywhere. Take away our guns. The purpose of a gun is not so you can just hunt your meat in the winter, folks. You can use that in the grocery store pretty easy right now. But you need that gun to protect yourself against a tyrannical state who wants to rob you of your liberties, who wants to take away your cherished values and replace them with the statist, secular, humanist values of the Darwinian culture in which we live. The cloning culture. I just hope they don't clone evil people first. I mean, you know, can you imagine having two George Bushes? Oh, did I say George Bush is evil? Sorry, didn't mean to offend the gullible Christians again. Yes, you did. You voted. You sinned when you voted for George Bush. You put in power a man, a demagogue, who gives lip service to Christian principles and then shows you by his actions that he hates liberty. He doesn't care about the unborn who are being murdered. He is a neoconservative, a true liberal in his heart, even though he says something else in his message. We have an email here, quick email. I want to get to this before I miss it and the show runs by. We're already, believe it or not, two-thirds through today's show. Sergio writes in. He says, I am a new listener of your program and enjoy it extremely from its realness. I am wanting to get to know more about your organization, get a chance to see the direction you are moving, and see if we could collaborate in getting the truth known. Well, you'll have to give me more information for me to be able to make any such judgment about that, Sergio, if you're listening. By all means, you can email your proposal to questions@policyofliberty.net, and I'll pass it along, or someone will pass it along to the production staff at the Tyranny Response Network and see what can be done. We would appreciate your support or anyone's support in not only spreading the word about our webcast, which is now available live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the show is live all over the world, as well as providing donations to the show. This is a listener-supported show. As you can tell, we have basically no commercials on the show, no income revenue, at least not at this point, from anyone paying to be on the air or anything like that. We are an educational broadcast that is here devoted to promoting the truth, promulgating liberty in the land, and promoting the Christian worldview and people being better thinkers as Christians. So thanks for the encouraging note, Sergio, and I hope to hear from you again soon. We have in First Freedom an American protest Thursday coming up about the Confederacy, and here's what they ran recently. They wanted to know, how in the world would we start to secede from the Union again if we're here in the South? And the South, I think, this time would have to secede with the West, or much of the West. You do realize, of course, that many of the people in the West are as tired of the liberals and socialists in the East, the Northeast, and the coastal areas of the West Coast, the Far Coast area. Certainly, all California is not the same, by the way. If you're a little bit inland, you're very different than those who thrive on the coast and in the anthill mob there of not only the left, not only leftism and socialism and homosexuality, but all sorts of other malicious, cancerous ideas. At any rate, and there are a few exceptions to that, like many good people in Orange County. Hearts go out to you folks who have to live in California under the tyranny of and the oppressiveness of that sort of state. Many millions of you there, good people, we know that. Well, how do we secede from the South, from the Union in the South and the West? Well, here's where we start. First Freedom says, Wanted, your thesis, how can Confederate States of America quickly, bloodlessly end 140 years of foreign occupation? The following respondents have earned one-year extensions or subscription to this newspaper. And one of those happens to be Dr. John Coben, the Tyranny Response Unit. And this is what he said. Union power is linked to its money and programs. One strategy would be for the southern states to stop accepting federal funding and stop applying optional, as in required, that is required for eligibility to receive federal money, federal provisions, or regulations. Southern state citizens should also refuse to take any federal jobs. Southern states should begin to coin gold and silver for these use in limited transactions. The newfound autonomy that emerges would accomplish the first step toward a revitalized move for freedom. Are you saying, Dr. Coben, that you're in favor of secession? Are you saying, listener, that you're not in favor of secession? Why would you want to be linked up with these people who are hate the vision of the Founding Fathers, who support the abolition of your rights, who support alternative lifestyles, who hate your values as a Christian, who hate your principles and values as a lover of freedom and liberty? Secession is a wonderful idea. I only wish we could pull it off. I'm not sure that there is such a way, but there was my input on how it might happen. There are several others that wrote in, rejecting government, man and his laws. Somebody wrote, a man named Henry said, run Americans for office that are not associated with the freedom movement or a scandal, and have them seem to support the New World Order and then turn tails later and really show their true colors. There are other people saying the South needs suffering and needs to reassert itself. We've been dumbed down with the public school and other things. Generations of Southerners now pass through public education system. The key to Southern independence, writes Clint, lies in taking back the education of our children from federal government, embracing our obligation to educate our children like at home. So a number of you have written in with various ideas. It's appreciated here at the Tyranny Response Network in this good magazine called First Freedom. If you haven't got a copy of that, you might want to pick that up and read a few of the ideas there in a very conservative or libertarian perspective of newspaper from those perspectives. We've come up against our break on the Tyranny Response Network. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning, saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to the show, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. You can reach us here by phone, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. If you have a question or comment for the show, want to talk with me about the public school or about any of these other issues we've been discussing today, you'd be welcome on the program to do so. Also, you can send us comments by email to policyofliberty.net. That's questions at policyofliberty.net. I'm going to get my cue cards right. In fact, I don't have cue cards. That's probably my problem. I need to have some production staff just make me a few cue cards up, and I'll just read those off like normal radio talk show hosts have. But then again, I'm not a normal radio talk show host, so maybe that wouldn't work. Just was glancing through this the first freedom during the break, and I noticed on page 9 it says, Gonzalez's nomination proves it. Christian suckers who voted for Bush sinned. As far as I'm concerned, it was Roe versus Wade, the law of the land, and I will enforce it. Alberto Gonzalez from the Senate confirmation hearing said, and this is Michael A. Hoffman II who's writing the articles. Well, Michael, couldn't agree with you more. Christians sinned when they voted for George Bush. I said that before the election. I said it after the election. And I'll say it still today. If you are a George Bush supporter and thinking that he's upholding Christian principles, you've made a mistake. The man is not on your side. He uses lip service, that is, little ploys, little tricks to allow you to believe or feel good about what he's doing. And in fact, he's raping you of your rights. He's taking away your liberties, and he's instituting things or putting people in institutions and aspects of the state that are going to thwart liberty and undermine your values. Well, I wanted to get to a longer email we had this morning from Greg coming onto a different topic, and we'll do that now. He says, Dear John, I recently heard you read one of the letters from a listener who used the term New Covenant Theology. One of the phrases associated with New Covenant Theology is the term Law of Christ. Just what is this? Is there something other than the Ten Commandments? By nature, we have an aversion to the law unless we have a Pharisaical opinion of ourselves. The Apostle tells us how the commandment number 10 revived and he died, Romans 7:5-14. Here we see the use of the same law that came from Mount Sinai in combination with the gospel. God's people find Christ and his salvation herein, and following we begin to delight in the law, Psalm 1:2. John Bunyan captures the workings and purposes of the law as it works in sync with Christ and his section of Pilgrim's Progress. Faithful, when I came to the foot of the hill called Difficulty, I met with a very aged man who asked me what I was and whither bound. I told him I'm a pilgrim going to the celestial city. Then said the old man, Thou lookest like an honest fellow. Wilt thou be content to dwell with me in the wages for the wages that I will give? And he goes on and talks about this conversation that he has with, I believe, Adam the First. Then we see here that, I'm not going to read all of this long section out of Pilgrim's Progress, Greg. I appreciate you sending it in. But trying to answer this question, let's go back for a moment. What is the purpose of the law? Well, Adam the First knocked Faithful down, laid him for dead. He had a secret inclining in his heart because of his flesh to Adam the First. He cried in mercy, but he said, I don't know how to show any mercy. I think it was this Moses who knocked him down. Oh, anyway, without reading the whole story and looking at the email here, I think your point, Greg, is what is this New Covenant theology? Is John Bunyan right? Is the old idea that the law is something that's useful in the life of the Christian to sanctify him correct or incorrect? Well, I'm a little bit out of my field here, and this would be a question that would be better suited for others, I suppose. But since you brought it up, and it probably has something to do with the Christian worldview and our program here, even though we're more public policy driven, I will make an attempt to answer it, and then we'd be happy to entertain some of your questions and comments. There are three evangelical views, as far as I know, that are fairly widespread views, at any rate, about the law of God.
One is that the law has really no place in the life of a Christian. It's a so-called dispensational view. And that the Ten Commandments were for the Old Testament period. They expired, essentially, unless they happen to be repeated in the New Testament by Christ, they're all gone. And even when they're repeated in the New Testament, they don't carry the same force. In other words, there are no penal sanctions associated with the breaking of a law. If you're an adulterer, for instance, you don't get stoned to death anymore. That's why Christ didn't stone the woman who was caught in adultery, or the man, for that matter. And therefore, the law of Christ supersedes the Ten Commandments because it is a law that's spirit-driven, that's heart-driven, that's different from the Old Covenant. Another view is that the entire Old Testament law, or part of it, depending on how far you go in the Reformed camp, is still valid for Christians today, but not as a matter of salvation or justification, but simply as a matter of sanctification. And the final view is this New Covenant theology view, that we get principles out of the Old Testament from the Old Testament about the character of God, the nature of God, the sinfulness of man, and that the rules and regulations, the law, is not directly applicable to Christians in the same way that it was in the Old Testament, but that Jesus goes even further, that not only can you not commit adultery, but you can't even look upon a woman to lust. Not only can you not murder, you can't even hate somebody. The same sins have there's the same root for different sins, and the law of Christ is even more on the one hand freeing from the old laws and in particular regulations they had to follow, but it's also far more encompassing because it's much deeper. Now, I don't know if I've correctly stated all those three views, but that's my understanding. Not being a theologian, I may have made a mistake, and we welcome your phone call to correct me or help me or help our listeners discuss this issue of New Covenant theology. You can call the show at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. That's in Greenville, 7:30 to 9 o'clock is the time the show is live. If you're listening at any other time, Eastern time, 7:30 to 9, you are listening to recorded broadcast, obviously can't call in. But you're welcome to email your comments in to questions@policyofliberty.net. We're going to take a short break and be right back on the Tyranny Response Network.
You're listening to TRN.
Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Disinfecting the Modern Mainstream Media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Well, welcome back to the show, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've just been talking about the difference between New Covenant theology, and dispensational theology. By the way, all of these work themselves out quite significantly in the Christian view of public policy in the state. For instance, If you have a worldview that's very covenantal, very reformed, believing the law of God has a place in society as it was in the Old Testament, you're going to tend to think that government or the state also has a role in promulgating that law, as John Calvin did. And you're going to view, ultimately, the goal is of having a godly state and godly people running the state that uphold God's law, punish those who God thinks are evildoers, and reward those who God thinks are doing well. If you have a New Covenant theology view, and you don't view the state as, or you're not going to view the state as something that's going to promulgate the law of God as seen in the Old Testament, because you don't believe that it's valid, a valid form of expression for the Christian any longer in society. That expired with the state of the people of the Old Testament Israel, and therefore you're not going to be looking for the state, the government, to uphold those particular rules. And I think that was what the listener that Greg was responding to had written in and discovered. There is no need for him to use the state to enforce the Old Testament laws in civil society today. So there is a tremendous impact that one's theology about the covenant, or the Old and the New Testaments, has on his worldview. We appreciate the comment, Greg. Hope I gave you a satisfactory answer, and if not, again, please do call, or others might want to call and contribute to the show. A little bit out of my league there when we're talking about the pure theology, but I think I know enough about it to be a little more than dangerous. I also had an interesting email come in this morning from Brian Morton. Brian Morton runs libertarianchristians.org. If you haven't visited libertarianchristians.org, you might want to do so. It's an interesting little website, a startup group for those who hold, again, a liberty of conscience perspective, or those who believe that that they need to have a libertarian political and civil perspective while at the same time holding very strong orthodox evangelical views. And on this particular email, he'd sent out someone named Robert Kramer. And Robert Kramer is a pacifist, apparently, and had written in with his particular perspective about warfare. Well, I thought to myself when I saw this, you know, this would be really interesting to bring up on the Christian Worldview show, not because I agree with pacifism, but because we rarely hear from these people. We hear a lot from Christian Reconstructionists. We admire a lot of the writings that Russus, Rush Dooney, and others have done. Gary North, for instance, we've read both of them on the show, as well as talked about Greg Bahnsen and others. We also have talked, obviously, a lot about the liberty of conscience point of view, which is my particular perspective. And we spend a considerable amount of time trying to be objective, but still, nevertheless, bashing to some extent those who hold the revitalized or reshaped divine right of kings perspective. Well, here's somebody who actually comes in with a pacifist point of view. And he believes, this guy, Robert Kramer, on his website here, that teachings came. There was a teachings change in 313 AD. Before then, he believes Jesus and Paul spoke against war, and the early Christians would have nothing to do with allowing members, people to join their churches if they were part of the military. Now, if they were converted as a soldier and they couldn't leave their post, then they allowed them to join the church. But after a while, no new Christians were allowed to go into the army to fight in the military. And if they were, they were excommunicated or weren't allowed to join with the church. Well, here we have a couple of very interesting articles that he cites, or books he cites in his article. 313 AD is when Constantine began changing Christian teachings, and from the Edict of Milan, also known as the Edict of Toleration. And this is from a book, Will the Real Heretics Please Stand Up? A New Look at Today's Evangelical Church in Light of Early Christianity, David Burcott, Scroll Publications, 1989. He says, Christianity had grown rapidly in the first three centuries, but after the conversion of Constantine, the church mushroomed. At the time of the Edict of Milan, AD 313, probably about a tenth of the Roman Empire had converted to Christianity, but that had taken nearly 300 years. In less than 100 years after the Edict of Milan, nearly all 90% have been converted. The church believed that this rapid growth was a sure sign of God's approval. Having accepted this premise, the church quickly adopted virtually any practice that resulted in growth, including the use of images in worship, a practice utterly loathsome to the early Christians. Constantine soon became worried about his division in the church over the issue of divine nature of his son would cause God to withdraw his blessing on the Roman Empire. When the old methods of the church failed to quiet this controversy, Constantine suggested a new approach, a church-wide council, the Council of Nicaea, attended by representatives of every congregation of the empire. Though there had been teaching of the church leaders in the past, such councils had always been on smaller, localized scale. And then he continues on to begin to talk about how the state began, or the church began to adopt the need to be involved with warfare and the military. Now, we've come up against a quick break. I want to take that real quick. When we come back, we'll continue talking about some of this pacifist ideas. And this is the Tyranny Response Network. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning, saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Continuing on with Constantine's ideas, reported in this book, it says here that before I began studying early Christian writings, this author says, I read in the early church history books that early Christians generally refused military services. Those books said early Christians weren't opposed to bloodshed, rather they rejected military service in order to avoid participating in idolatrous practices. But that's not true. In their writings, the early Christians clearly stated they opposed war because they literally followed Jesus' commandments to love your enemies and to turn the other cheek. They viewed war as morally wrong. At the time when military valor was considered to be the grandest or greatest of virtues, the early Christians stood alone in declaring that war was simply murder on a grand scale. Consistent with this position of not legislating righteousness in other areas of life, the early church made no law that Christians could not serve in the army. The scriptures only commanded a Christian to love his enemies and not return evil for evil. Neither Jesus nor the apostles ever strictly forbade Christians to serve in the military. Since the Roman Empire was at peace during the early period of Christianity, it was quite possible for a Christian to spend his entire life in the army and never be required to shed blood. In fact, during this period, soldiers primarily served in a capacity similar to American police officers. Generally speaking, the church did not permit a Christian to join the army after his conversion. However, if a man was already a soldier when he became a Christian, the church did not require him to resign. Then we also had another book, How Christians Made Peace with War, Early Christian Understandings of War by John Driver from Herald Press, 1988. He says, in the period from about AD 90 to 313, early Christians opposed warfare because of the life and teachings of Jesus. And then he says it's noteworthy that between 100 and 313, no Christian writers, to our knowledge, approved of Christian participation of warfare. In fact, all those who wrote on the subject disapproved of the practice. And then Constantine came and changed all of that. So eventually, he said, in the Synod of Arles called in Constantine in 314, contains official statement of the church concerning military service. Article 3 says, concerning those who throw away their arms in times of peace, it is fitting that they should not be admitted to communion. And then finally, with Anatomy of a Hybrid, a study of the church-state relationships by Leonard Verdine, and that's the Christian Hymnary Publishers in 1976, he says the early church was especially mission-minded. These were also days of persecution. Sacral societies like the ones all around the early church were not bound together by the doctrine, but by cult, by sacramental act and gestures. The persecutions resulted from the fact that Christian faith was undermining the homogeneity of sacral society. It was eroding unanimity at the level of men's highest loyalty. And then he goes on to say that there was a Christian sacralism that began in 313 with this Edict of Toleration promulgation, and declared that the Christian religion was to be a permitted cult, of course, and then military service came in. And he goes on to say that that as the church began to grow and expand in its influence in the state, by the year 416, the army was declared closed to all but Christians. So they began to take up arms and become involved in this way. So his argument is, look, like the Catholic Church abomination, we have the Christian military service idea as being abominable to God in the early church, and it is still today abominable, and we ought to uphold a pacifist perspective. What do you think about that? Are you a thinking Christian? What is your response to this sort of teaching by pacifists? It's a valid, obviously a valid Christian worldview. People who are Bible believers, who love liberty, who are writing on the Christian libertarianchristians.org site, hold to a pacifist perspective. But is it the right Christian perspective? Well, if you have an interest in defending either the pacifist side or criticizing it, I'd be happy to hear from you this morning, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you can send questions and comments by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. Just a few comments of my own, first of all. I think that they were right to recognize that the synthesis of the state and the church was wrong. I believe that there is a competing kingdom in the state that is not aligned with the church. It cannot be transformed by the dominion mandate, and we cannot expect the state to help in any way and restore or bring in or promulgate the kingdom of God in the world. Having said that, I'm not sure at all that this idea that Christians have to be pacifists can be supported by Jesus or by the church teaching in the early centuries. In fact, what we find is that Christ himself did not literally follow his rule about turning the other cheek. Remember, he was slapped on the cheek, and he did not turn the other cheek when he was being persecuted before Pilate and the Sanhedrin. And the same thing happened to Paul. He was smited on the cheek or smitten on the cheek by one of the guards that stood by. Do you revile God's high priest? And Paul apologized and said, I didn't realize he was God's high priest. And he didn't turn the other cheek literally. So it wasn't a literal turning of the cheek. We also see that Christ talks about fleeing from persecution, and we also see principles in the scriptures about defending one's family or providing for one's family, and that would presumably be defending. Again, as you said earlier in other shows, taking a bullet for your wife does not relieve you of responsibility. The other five bullets that are in the chamber of the six shooter that might then kill your wife. So providing for one's family could include defense to some extent. And we don't see Christ criticizing a sinful military service. The idea that, well, we just let them in, you know, they were already soldiers, they couldn't get out of their commitment, so we just let them stay in the early church. It's obviously wrong in my mind, because why didn't they do the same thing to prostitutes, for instance, or tax collectors, those who were defrauding people or doing immoral acts? They didn't say, well, you know, this is your profession, you've been doing this for a while, and you know, you've got an agreement, long-term agreement with your employer, so you can go ahead and hang around and do this, but and we'll let you in the church, but no other future generations are going to be allowed to do it. I just don't buy it. The scripture, it seems pretty clear that Jesus says, go ahead and get a sword in Luke chapter 22, I believe it's verse 16, and he's talking about a sword for his defense. You don't use swords for hunting. You use it to defend yourself against those who would attack you. So I think that there is a role for Christian self-defense. It is one of the big questions we have, the deep questions here on the show. If you go to the policyofliberty.net website, the homepage, scroll all the way down to the bottom, you'll find a couple links. One says deep questions for Dr. Coben's radio show. And the first question is, do Christians have a right to self-defense? If so, under what circumstances, against criminals or also governments? Are there any instances in which the Christians must not defend themselves? What biblical passages can be used in support of the doctrine? See Luke 3:14, 14:31, 22:36, and 1 Timothy 5:8 for some text. Why didn't Christ and the apostles defend themselves against the Roman state? Why are they just being pragmatic or expedient? Which of the following may properly be resisted with force, even with deadly force, by Christians? And then I give seven examples. I'd encourage you to go to, or seven cases, I should say. I would encourage you to go to the website, read that question, think about pacifism, and think whether or not it might be biblical. And if it is biblical, why don't we support it? Let's talk about it here on Christian Worldview. If you're a Christian and you're a thinker, you should know why or why you're not a pacifist. what you think about Christ's teaching, what you think about the Bible's teaching about defense, and what our role should be in fighting against tyrannical states, if anything. And here at the Tyranny Response Network and on Christian Worldview, we're here to encourage your deep thinking. We've run up against the end of the show today. We're so glad you've joined us. We've hoped that it's been profitable for you. We look forward to your questions and comments tomorrow and this evening by email, but tomorrow morning on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.